Let me just say good morning. It is good to be with you. I want to also extend a happy Father's Day to our fathers and include grandfathers in that too. So happy Father's Day. And men, just we pray for you. Pray that you would continue to grow into or be that leader that God has called you to be, and to grow into what it means to follow our Lord Jesus Christ. And so, dads, that is important. And so we pray for you. Well, I am excited to get into a text that really does get raw. It gets into the struggle that you and I deal with on a regular and daily basis with sin. And it's a complex chapter. And I know we say it every time, that we can't cover all the details. And as Pastor Dustin said, they gave me all of Romans 7. So thank you, Pastor Dustin. But it's an exciting text. And it's got some great things in it. But let's pray before we get into it. Lord God, Heavenly Father, bless us, we pray. Guide us by your Holy Spirit. Allow your word, Lord, to come off the page into our hearts and into our lives, Lord. And make a difference in how we live and in the joy and the victory we have in you, Jesus, even amidst the daily struggles that we have with sin, with temptation. And so, Lord, bless us. Guide us today, we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want to dig right in with you. I would love for you to look in your scriptures. We're going to go right to verse 6 to begin with, and I'll put it on the screens because I believe this is an anchor verse of not only Romans 7, but I believe Paul leads us right into the very essence, the very center of what Christianity is all about. This is one of those verses you should highlight or underline in your Bibles. But Paul says, but now we are released from the law, having died to that which held us captive, so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code. My friends, what Paul directs us to is we have been set free from slavery to sin and death, and now we live in that new way of the Spirit. We belong to God through our Savior Jesus Christ. Paul has been building this case throughout Romans. Pastor Dustin last week did a fantastic job in the second part of chapter 6, understanding that slavery, from slavery to sin and death, to that slavery to righteousness, and how that is such a good thing. But Paul enters into Romans 7 with a little bit different illustration. He uses marriage. Now, I'm not going to read verses 1 through 3, but to encapsulate it, what he says at the beginning of 7 was, we were once married to the ball and chain of sin and death. But through our baptism into the death and resurrection of Jesus, we've been set free from that ball and chain, and now we belong to him, the groom. And this is such a beautiful truth. It's the very essence of what it means to be a Christian. This has been critical for Paul to lay this foundation because he's getting ready in chapter 7 to get really personal. And not only will he be transparent and authentic about his own life, but in so doing, he's inviting us to do the very same thing. You see, my friends, we need to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that we belong to Jesus. But we also know the reality that on this side of heaven, we will not be free of that duality, that struggle within us. There's a battle between good and evil, between following God's will and our own sinful desires. And we know it. We know this is a very real struggle within each of us. Even though sometimes we try to hide it. Sometimes we act like we've mastered it. But I tell you what, in our heart of hearts, we know that we know better, that we haven't been able to master this part of us. And in fact, because we fall into sin so frequently, those things like guilt and disappointment and shame and regret, they just well up inside of us because we give in all too frequently. In fact, today, You might even be sitting here in a pew or at home online. And you might be amongst family or friends, and you got a smile on your face. But behind that smile is a scared and wounded child who can't seem to avoid stepping in it. And what I mean by that is stepping into sin, lust, coveting, greed, selfishness, addiction, anger, you name it. And the guilt and the shame can often raise to such levels that it feels impossible to overcome. And Satan would love nothing more than for you and me to just finally give up. It's too tough. And if that's you today, then I'm so glad you're here. Because God's word today will bring freedom and hope and healing to you if that's where you're at. But it will, in fact, to all of us. But we have to start with the beautiful truth that we have been set free from slavery to sin and death. So building on the metaphor of marriage, look at verse 4 with me. Paul says, "Likewise, my brothers and sisters, you also have died to the law through the body of Christ, that you may belong to another." Who is it? It's to him, the groom. The one who has been raised from the dead, Jesus our Savior, in order that we might bear fruit to God. Our lives are going to look different as we follow Christ. But here's where Paul lets us in to his life. He becomes totally transparent here. Because he's no different then, he was no different then as we are today. Yes, his story was different, sure, but what God did in him and what he is doing in you and I today is no different. But we also have to say the same thing, that our daily struggle with sin and temptation is no different. You know, when I think of Romans chapter 7, the image that always comes to my mind, and this will maybe date, at least the story's old, and even if you don't know it, everybody knows the concept, but one of the things I always think of in Romans 7 is this, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, written by Robert Louis Stevenson. Now, if you don't know the story or you just know the concept, let me just give you a couple of details because it fits. You see, you have Dr. Jekyll, who's a well-respected scientist, but he battles this dark alter ego, Mr. Edward Hyde. And as a scientist, Dr. Jekyll wants to know more about this alter ego, and so he formulates this potion that he can take that helps separate this duality, and he's able to maybe drift between these two sides of himself. But what he did not anticipate was just how dark and evil and powerful Mr. Hyde was. You know, I think if you take a step out of the story for a second, I don't think you and I often truly understand or admit what our sinful nature is truly capable of. So going back into the story, so soon Dr. Jekyll was going to be unable to control the shifting between these two sides of himself, and Hyde was becoming stronger, and Jekyll was soon to no longer be anymore, and the story ends very tragically with Mr. Hyde taking his own life. Now there are some, if you research it, that say that Robert Louis Stevenson was inspired somewhat or influenced somewhat to write this story based on Romans chapter 7. He grew up in a strong Christian household, so maybe it's true. I don't know. But if it is true, if his story is somewhat based on Romans 7, then he was only seeing half of what Paul was trying to teach us. In fact, he's missing the most important half. Because unlike this story, Romans chapter 7 doesn't end tragically, it ends in victory. And although that victory is absolute, Paul desires to bring us into his world so that we can relate to him and relate to one another because we deal daily with this battle against sin and our sinful nature. But here's the key difference between Robert Louis Stevenson's story and ours. You see, in his story, Dr. Jekyll was in a battle he couldn't win. But what Paul wants you and I to see clearly on the pages of Scripture today, as followers, as baptized followers of Jesus, you and I have been brought from a battle that we can't win to a battle that you can't lose. You see, you belong to Jesus. And he defeated sin. He defeated death and the devil. The war has been won, and you and I share in that victory. But we also know our daily struggle is real. Christ in him, in Jesus, we are made righteous. We are victorious. But if you go back to the story, we also have a Mr. or Mrs. Hyde in each of us. In the church, we talk about this duality as being both saint and sinner at the same time. You see, after drinking the potion, going back to that story one last time, what truly caught Dr. Jekyll off guard was just how dark and just how powerful Mr. Hyde was. Upon setting Hyde free without Dr. Jekyll to temper him, Hyde was nothing but raw, selfish evil. Let me ask you, have you ever surprised yourself by how dark your thoughts can get? Have you ever surprised yourself by how bad your behaviors can actually be? You find yourself saying, I didn't know I was capable of thinking such things. I didn't know I was capable of doing such things. Well, I'll tell you something. If it were not, if Christ is not in us, our sinful nature would be like Hyde, nothing but raw, sinful evil. And I tell you, Paul had to come to terms with this himself, because prior to the road to Damascus, when Jesus met and confronted him and saved him, he didn't see his life as bad or evil. In fact, he thought he was doing a good thing. But he wasn't. He was pursuing pure evil, and he felt good about it. If you look at the first part of verse 9, it says, I was once alive apart from the law. Paul was saying, I was on top of my game. I thought everything was going well, but it was apart from God's word and will. Now, what does it mean, apart from the law? Does it mean that Paul didn't know it? He didn't know God's word? No, that would be absurd. Paul was raised in a strong Jewish home. He knew it from his youth. He knew the scriptures forward and backward. He was trained as a religious leader, as a Pharisee. He knew the letter of the law. But there was something critical missing. You see, it wasn't God's word, but it was Paul's Mr. Hyde that was driving him, that was calling the shots. It was pure selfishness, pride, and covetousness. Paul he was unable to see how dark and evil his alter ego within him was until he met Jesus and he received the thing he was missing, and that was the Holy Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit then revealed the truth to Paul. Revealed the truth about God's word, about the law and gospel and sin. And Paul's eyes were open. In fact, the second part of verse 9 says, but when the commandment came, when God's word came, sin came alive and I died. Paul says he died, not a physical death, but because of Jesus, he died to being a slave to Mr. Hyde. He died to a life defined by selfishness and coveting. But in that dying, he was raised to a new life, a grace-filled eternal life. So to bring about that death into life, Jesus used the law, used God's word to open up Paul's eyes and to see a sinful condition. And Paul comes away from that and he says, well, then what shall we say? That the law is sin? By no means. Yet if it had not been for the law, I would not have known sin. For I would not have known what it is to covet if the law had said, you shall not covet. The problem wasn't the law. The problem was Paul. It was his sinful life apart from grace. Paul needed to see the depth of his depravity. But see, it's no different for you than for you and I, friends. If we don't see the depth of our sin, if we don't see the darkness in ourselves, then we will not see the need to turn to Jesus. And without the gift of the Holy Spirit in each of us, not only will we not see the darkness, but we also won't be able to turn to Jesus. So thank God that we have Jesus. Thank God His Holy Spirit is in us. But there was something else. Again, this chapter's complex. There was something else that surprised Paul. And maybe it'll surprise you too. You see, the beautiful, pure, righteous law of God also started poking his Mr. Hyde. Started agitating him, leading him to more and more sinful desires. Look at verse 8 with me, and he says this, "But sin, seizing an opportunity through the commandment, through the word of God, produced in me all kinds of covetousness." And if you read on the next couple of verses there, what I see happening is that age-old saying that Satan will leave a sleeping dog lie. But when we are awakened to the truth of the law and the gospel of God, then Satan takes notice. And he's going to do his level best to agitate our sinful nature, to make war within us against how we are to live for God. Satan in our sinful nature can even use the blessings from God to arise in us evil desires and temptations. And if we take it back again to the story, the law can arouse the Mr. Hyde in us that leads us to want to be God rather than to be under the lordship of God. So what Paul wants us to see really clearly is that without Jesus, without the gift of the Holy Spirit, we will be in a war we cannot win. And without Jesus, we will become only Mr. or Mrs. Hyde and fall deeper into darkness and despair. But with Jesus sitting on the throne of your heart, with the gift of the Holy Spirit within you, you are victorious already. And even in those daily battles we face, and my friends, we face them every day with sin, even in those daily battles, and when we fall into sin, it does not change the fact that we live in grace. We are forgiven. That is the best news. As baptized followers of Jesus, Paul wants to carry us further. As those raised to this new life, we can then echo what Paul says in verse 22. "For I delight in the law of God in my inner being." Think about what that means. To fall in love with the Word of God. To love His Word, to engage in it, to live in it, to find hope and healing and wholeness in His Word. There is such beauty and such blessedness in delighting in God's Word. But Paul's going to end this section by getting more real and more transparent. It's what Bill read a moment ago, and Paul's leading us into the personal struggle more deeply so that we can see the victory more clearly. And what we need to hear in this last part of 7, in Paul's words here, is that even though we will lose some of those daily battles with our sinful self, and though we will step into Satan's snares and get caught up, we have a Savior who rescues us. Now, one of the things before I read this last part of chapter 7 is we never use this wrestling match to be an excuse to sin. We don't use it as an excuse to give up the fight against our sinful nature. But what it helps us realize is that even though we sin daily, we confess our sins, we are strengthened through His Word and the sacraments, and we know that we are forgiven and dearly loved. And before I read this, think of the author one more time, the Apostle Paul. When he writes these words, it's after the road to Damascus. Paul has been saved. He is a godly man. He is, again, the most prolific church planter in the New Testament church. He has written most of the books of the New Testament, and he bears his heart and soul, letting us know that even he struggled daily with sin. I struggle daily with sin. You struggle daily with sin. Listen to how Paul addresses this. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep doing. Now if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. So he says, so I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, Satan's right there. Evil lies close at hand. And then he moves into those beautiful words, but I delight in the law of God in my inner being. But, he says, I see in my members another law, waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am. Paul felt how you and I often feel. God, how could you love someone like me who messes up all the time? How could you love and accept someone like me? I can't get my life or my act together. But what I want you to see is when Paul makes this admission of being a wretched man, it's not in a desire to hide from God. His recognition is that he can do nothing on his own to solve the sin problem within him, and so it drives him into the arms of Jesus, which it should do for you and me every day. Because he asks the critical question, who will deliver me from this body of death? And then he answers it. Thanks be to God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So then I myself serve the law of God. I mean, this is joy for Paul. But with my flesh, I serve the law of sin. There's still the struggle. Now, I want to close with this thought. Remember with me, there are no chapter dividers in the original letter Paul wrote to the Romans. So there wasn't a 7 and an 8. And so it all flowed together. And I don't think we can end this message time talking about the struggles that we face without hearing some beautiful, pure gospel words. In fact, and this will give us an insight. I'm going to be covering chapter 8 next Sunday, but let's take a look at what verse 1 says. In fact, will you say these words with me? These are beautiful words for people who struggle every day with sin, and that's all of us. So say these words with me. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen? Amen. What a beautiful ending. We are in Christ Jesus, and there is no condemnation. My friends, let me pray for you. If you'll stand, let's pray. Heavenly Father, bless us each and every day by your Holy Spirit. Help us, Lord, in this struggle against sin. Help us never give up the fight. Help us delight in your law and live as your people. But Lord, where we fail, and we do daily, Lord, remind us that we are holy and dearly loved. Pick us up. Help us confess our sins. Be strengthened through word and through the sacraments. And allow us, Lord, to rejoice in the life you have given us as you lead us by your Spirit. And Lord, help us to show other people that amazing gospel message to those who still struggle in darkness in this world. Lord, bless us and keep us strong in faith, in your love, in your victory. In Jesus' name, amen.